6. And as I said, we are looking here, doing a couple of sermons on this idea of the Jubilee, since we are going to be having Jubilee 2021. Our theme is Jericho. And why Jericho, preacher? I'm so glad you asked. I like when you ask those questions. So Jericho is known as the city of palms. The palm tree in the Bible is symbolic for victory. Amen. So we got the victory. We're looking to get some more victory. And Jubilee, part of the whole thing about the Jubilee is getting some victory. Amen. But we want to take and look here real quickly as an introduction to this Jubilee 2021 at a couple of sermons on the idea of Jubilee here. So, we're going to turn here to Numbers 36. This is the last time the word Jubilee is recorded in the Bible. Many scholars believe that Jubilee may have never actually been observed in Israel because of it not being mentioned any further. I don't know. I wasn't there. Amen. We could have asked George Piper. You know, he was as old as Moses, but unfortunately he went on to his, well, fortunately I should say, he went on to his reward a couple of years back there. And we certainly loved old George and getting to bust his chops and all that. We miss him, but we're looking forward to the day that we get to be reunited with him, because when we get to see him, we're definitely going to get to see Jesus. Amen. So let's read here the first four verses of Numbers 36. And the Bible says, "And the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph came near, and spake unto Moses, and before the princes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And they said, The Lord commanded my Lord to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters." Now remember, this is a patriarchal society here, so everything goes to the males. "And if they be married to any of the sons of other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and shall be put to the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received, so shall it be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when the Jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, then shall their inheritance be put unto the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers." We would like to use this passage of Scripture here as something of a launch pad for the idea of our sermon today of concern for the Jubilee, or concern over the Jubilee. These individuals here, they had a legitimate concern that needed to be addressed. But can I just say that when we have legitimate concerns, God has legitimate answers. Amen. So let's go ahead and pray. Our most gracious Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, for loving us and saving us. And we do ask you, Father, please, for your help, please, to present the sermon here today the way that you'd have for us to, that it would be a help to each and every one that'll be tuning in, whether it's live or on down the road here. And we do pray, Father, for your blessings upon it, upon the videos, the sermon audio, all that stuff there, the YouTube channel. Not for my sake, but for we want to get your word out there. We want to get the help and encouragement out there to a lost and dying world, to your people who are in desperate need of it. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity here, for being able to have the Garage Baptist and be of some sort of help to the churches out there, your people out there. We do ask you, Father, for all the prayer requests, Lord, have been made known and the unspoken, that you please would take care of them according to your holy will. For all the missionaries and evangelists out there, that you'd supply their every need above and beyond what they can possibly hope for. We thank you, God, for loving us and saving us. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. So, to kind of bring you up to speed here real quickly, the whole concept of the Jubilee was that it was to take place on the 50th year. There would be 7 sabbatical years. Every 7th year, there was supposed to be rest in the land to allow the crops to grow the wild, that would allow the soil itself to rejuvenate itself. And on this 50th year, there was not only an additional year of rest for the land, but it was supposed to be some rest for the people in other areas of their lives. Now, obviously, there's a concern here concerning the law, and that this particular man, he didn't have any sons. He only had daughters, so the daughters were going to be inheriting. And it brought up, hey, we've got questions. And you know what? God doesn't mind questions unless they're really stupid questions. Can God, so powerful, can he make something so heavy that even he can't lift? I'm sorry, that's a stupid question. That's not a paradox. It's a stupid question. Amen. But the fact of the matter is that Jubilee was something that God had created so as that what had been lost, the things that had been sold away, the freedom that had been turned over could come back, could be brought back. That people could be set free, that they could get the liberty that was needed. Kind of like hitting a reset button, if you will. Because there wasn't, in God's mind, going to be a need to create large monopolies. There wasn't a need for someone to become ultra rich and be the top 1% and the rest of the people there in the land to be poor as church mice. God loves his people, and he wanted everything to be in his balance. But why would that balance be necessary? Because of sin. Yeah. Because we're humans and we do dumb things. Amen. We get ourselves into trouble. And Israel was no exception to the rule here. Life happens, okay? And because life happens, God made a way to help. To bring some encouragement to his people. That no matter how bad it is right now, there will come an end to it. That no matter what comes our way, God will see us through it. But we are frail human beings who, no matter how much we want to operate in faith, we tend to lean toward fear. The uncertain. I'm scared. God says, I've got your back. The bad, watch us now, church. The bad ain't permanent. And while there's concern, God says, I've got your back. I want to look at 3 things here this morning where there was concern when it came to this Jubilee. And the people wanted to know exactly what was going on. Number 1, and we won't go in the order that they're listed in the book of Leviticus 25, and that's where we're going to be hanging out primarily, but we'll start with what's right here in Numbers, since this is our text. There was concern over the land. Now, ownership of the land was very important to the nation. I mean, this was their inheritance. This is what God had given them, had blessed them with. And they certainly didn't want to lose it. They didn't want part of it being shifted over to another tribe. People here, the leadership from Manasseh, they were concerned, we're going to have this one section, and what if these 5 girls marry into 5 different tribes? And now, Ephraim owns a part right here in the middle of Manasseh, and Judah owns a part right here in the middle of Manasseh, and Simeon owns a part right here in the middle of Manasseh, Benjamin owns a part here in the middle of Manasseh, Dan owns a part here in the middle of Manasseh. We got problems here. And God says, look, Lord, just because there's no males to inherit doesn't mean that it's going to be gone forever. It's not going to be permanent. Let's look back over in the book of Leviticus 25. And we're going to be dealing with a lot from Leviticus 25 here, so y'all don't panic. We're going to read a lot of verses, but it's okay. We've got a couple of minutes. Amen. Only 3 points, don't forget. How many preachers will tell you that in advance? All right, Leviticus 25, we'll begin reading verse 23 down through 28. God said, "The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possessions ye shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor, and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it," watch it, church, "until the year of Jubilee." In other words, if this guy had to sell his property year one of the 50 years, year one, the next 49 years, he can't do nothing to redeem the land. But that 50th year comes, and in the Jubilee it shall go out and shall return unto his possession. He may have lost out on the benefit for the last 49 years, church. But that 50th year, the Jubilee year, he don't have to be concerned about it no more. It comes back to him because it's God's property. And God is going to make sure that he is taking care of what is his. Now, we can sit here and we can cause ourselves to lose a lot. We can lose out on a lot of the blessings that the Lord has sent our way because we tend to forget that we don't belong to ourselves, that we belong to God. The Bible tells us there in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." See, just like the Israelites there, back in the days when they were supposed to be celebrating the Jubilee and all that, church, they'd lose. They'd have to lease the property out to somebody else. They would lose all the benefit of the land that was rightfully theirs. But in the 50th year, it came back to them because it wasn't theirs, it was God's from the word go. He was just letting them stay on the property. And church, when we have been accepted by Jesus Christ, when we have asked him to save us, to forgive us of our sins, the Bible says that we have been bought with a price. We're no longer our own. We belong to God. And God is the one who's going to take care of us. And how simple is it for us to get back to what we need to be? We go off into sin. We start doing things our own way. All we've got to do, 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In other words, church, Jubilee for the Christian, for the true believer, comes every time he asks God to forgive him of his sins. Because God restores. No matter how far we run from God, the miles and miles, all we literally have to do is turn around to come back to him, and he's right there. Right there, ready to accept us, to love on us again. So while there's concern over the land, the land of our body, God says, Jubilee's ready for you. All you've got to do is come. That's why we try to have these Jubilees here in the springtime. I know we didn't get to celebrate it last year because of all the whole COVID business that was going on there. But we want to get people to come back to God. So we're not scheduling revivals. God schedules revivals. We schedule meetings, church. We call our meeting there a Jubilee because we are concerned. We want our brothers and sisters in Christ to come back to God. That's the land that we have the concern over. This human clay taken from the dust of the ground. We want to see people come and get right with God again. Back to where they need to be, church. But not only was there a concern over the land, but there was a concern over the limit. The limit? Yeah. Just stay with me now. Leviticus 25, again, we'll read verse 11 and 12. It says, "A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow." Here's where the limit comes in. "Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of the vine undressed. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field." Someone scratching their head going, how are they going to eat the increase out of the field if God literally just told them you can't harvest? I'm glad you asked that. Verse 20 through 22. "And if ye say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold," now this is kind of talking about that sabbatical year, but don't forget, okay, this also applies to the 49th and 50th year of the Jubilee. 49th year is a sabbatical year. The 50th year is the Jubilee year. God has to provide if he's putting limits, don't he? Amen. Watch. "And if ye say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, ye shall not sow, nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessings upon you in the sixth year, and ye shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. The sixth year, the seventh year, the eighth year. The 48th year, the 49th year, the 50th year." Or actually, it would be the 49th, 50th, and the first year, you know, because you got to have something to eat while you're waiting on the harvest to come in. But y'all know where I'm going at. "And it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years, and ye shall sow the eighth year, and eat yet of old fruit until the ninth year. Until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store." See, God placed limits, but he also makes provision. He said, if you'll do things my way, that sixth year you will reap triple the amount. Enough to get you through the seventh year and into the eighth year. So is that you're good until that ninth year comes along. The sabbatical and jubilee years, same thing there. Yeah, God has placed the limit, but God also makes provision. Now, Israel always had a hard time with that. Let's face facts here. You go back there to Exodus 16 when the manna first appeared. What happened? God told them, says, all right, for 6 days you're going to gather, and you'll only gather enough for that one particular day. And that sixth day, that day you're going to gather twice as much because you got to take care of the sixth day and the seventh day. And the Bible tells us some of the people went out and they got all that they could. And they had leftovers on that first day. The second day, it stank. People went out on the sixth day. They gathered double the amount like they were told to do. The seventh day, it was all good in the hood. But the people who only gathered for 6 days and they went out the seventh day to gather, guess what? They went hungry because they didn't listen to God. They didn't understand his limits that he had put. Because he was going to make provision. Israel always had a hard time with that. But God takes care of it. Christians, we have a hard time understanding his limits at times. We're raring to go. We can do it. And God says no. We're sitting here scared to death. God, what am I going to do? I need help. I've got the final notice from the bill collector. They're going to shut off the power. They're going to shut off the water. They're going to take me to small claims court over these bills. I need help. We forget. God's timing is not our timing. God's ways are not our ways. And it is hard. I'll be the first to admit it. It's hard. Because we want things done our way. We don't want to have to sit here and worry about the how and when and the why and the where and the what. We just want it took care of. But God says, if you'll stop being concerned over the limit, I can provide. And as an example here, Philippians chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Now, we all love to run to verse 19. Amen. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 We love to run to that verse. How often do we stop and read verse 18 first, though? Amen. Let's read verse 18 and then 19. Now, don't forget, Paul's in jail right now. He's in jail. This is a Roman jail. This ain't an American jail where you're getting 3 square meals a day and all the free health care and conjugal visits and whatever else it is that they do at these jails. This is a Roman jail where if you want any water to drink, someone from the outside best be bringing it in. You want any food to eat, someone from the outside best be bringing it in. They're only paying the jailers to keep you there, not to feed you. Okay? Philippians 4, 18 and 19. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, God put Paul in a place where he had limits. They weren't very comfortable limits at all. Nuh-uh. But God, because he placed him there where there were limits, God says, I will also provide a way. So the Philippians here, they thought, hey, let's get together, let's get some supplies, and we'll send them with this fella here, and he'll take them to the jail there and help Paul out a little bit. They thought they were just doing a good thing, but what God was using them to supply the need. Amen? Paul's in jail. Ain't like he can come and preach a meeting for them. Ain't like he can get on the Facebook and live stream a sermon to them. He's in jail. Not Facebook jail either. He's in jail. Ain't like he can do anything to help the people there in Philippi. So what does he do? He understands that he has a limit placed on him in more ways than one. And he understands God has no limit placed on him. That if God just provided his need there in jail for the supplies they sent, then God will supply their need. So he goes on to say, but my God shall supply all your need. By the way, that you've noticed that that says need. I know some of these modern translations add the S on there and make it needs. It's your need. What you got need of at the moment. Believe it or not, there actually is a priority list. Need number one, okay, we will take care of that. Number one has been eliminated. Need number two now becomes need number one. We will take care of need number one. Amazing how that happens, amen? But here God says, you know what? I might be limited. You might be limited on what you can even do for yourselves. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I love how that says according to his riches and glory. Not from his riches and glory, because that would deplete some of what God's got. It says according to, which means he's got so much. Yeah, it comes out, but it doesn't take away from what God has in order to keep supplying the need. Hey, man. So while we might have concern over the limit, yeah, Jubilee coming up in 11 days here. How are we going to be able to get the house full? I don't know. Maybe the house won't be full. Lord first laid it on my heart to do Jubilee. He's like, okay, I'd like to have a preacher or two. Lord laid a couple of preachers on my heart. Laid it on my heart. This is how we're going to do it. We'll have 2 preachers each night. 3 nights. Great. How am I going to fit them in this room? Lord says, you go talk to Ray Tucker there at Old Fashioned and see if he will let you come and have the services there. Go talk to Ray. Well, yes, sir, we'll do it. Praise God. God supplied the need. love to have some singing, not just preaching, but have some good singing going on there as well. What happened? Made the announcement. If anybody's willing to help, hey, people lining up to come help. Praise God, God supplying the need there, church. And if He can do those little things, surely He can do the big things too. So while we find ourselves having concern, if we'll just trust Him, He can take care of that concern altogether. Amen. But thirdly, lastly here, not only was there concern for the Jubilee over the land, concern for the Jubilee over the limit, but concern for the Jubilee over the liberty. Again, there in Leviticus 25, verse 39 through 41, the Bible says, "And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee waxen poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as a hired servant. And as a sojourner he shall be with thee, and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his father shall he return." See, people back then got in such a hard way. It wasn't a matter of going taking out payday loans. Now they owe the 400% interest to the payday loan place. It wasn't a matter of pulling out the wallet and maxing out the MasterCard and Lady Visa. The Discovery card and all this other stuff there. Now what do we do? Well, we got to go take out a loan or whatnot. They didn't do that sort of stuff there. The people would have to sell themselves as slaves. Bond servants. Servants is what Israel was supposed to be. And they would work for X number of years. They were to work until the sabbatical year. Every seventh year. And then they could decide if they wanted to go free or not. If they decided, no, I'd rather stay here because it's a whole lot better than what I had before. They could until the Jubilee year. Now in the Jubilee year, it's like, you've grown up enough by now. Time to move out of the nest. Time to get out there. You have your liberty. You will not always be a slave. You will not always be bound up. You will not always be subject to somebody else. You can have liberty. You can have freedom. Christians, we get the same way, bound up with our attitudes, with our sins, with our habits. Why? Because it's what we know. It's what we've come to embrace. We know an attitude of defeat. You know, I blew it again. I'm going to blow it again tomorrow. I'm always going to be a failure. I can't succeed. We know what sins we cling to. I like this particular sin over here so as that when something bothers me, when I've got troubles, I run immediately back to it. And we know what habits bring us comfort. I need to read my Bible, but man, that television and that Lazy Boy are so inviting. Yeah, well, I'll sit down and kick back my feet for a little bit there, and I will, you know, give me a little bit of time, and I'll get down there, and next thing you know, it's time for us to go to bed, and we never got to reading our Bible, never got to studying, none of that other stuff there, because it was a comfortable habit. But the Bible tells us, though, we don't have to be slaves to the attitude of defeat. Slaves to the sins we cling to. Slaves to those comfortable habits. The Bible tells us there in 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And what I really want to point out to you about this verse here, liberty, about this verse here, is the word liberty. Thayer defines the word liberty here as it's used in this verse as living as we should, not as we please. In other words, God will set us free if we will allow Him to set us free, if we will understand and accept the fact that we have been bound up and that we can be set free, if we will simply turn back to God, if we will ask Him to give us the jubilee that we need in our lives, church. He will give us set liberty. But we have to be obedient to Him. I made note there about the individuals who at the sabbatical year could easily say, you know what, I like my master, I'm comfortable where I'm at, I want to stay there. But at the Jubilee year, yeah, it was time for them to leave, to move on out. It don't matter how comfortable you are, you need to get going. You need to get back to your life. God is saying for the Christians, our Christian life, we need to get back to it. We need to get back to serving the Lord. We need to get back to doing as He would have for us to do. We need to get back to marching our way straight on up there to those pearly gates. Instead of living for ourselves. Instead of wrapping ourselves in the things of this world. God says, I want to give you the ultimate jubilee of liberty. But it's up to us if we will accept it or not. Yeah, we can have concern, but He's already taken care of the concern. We just need to come to Him. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're just about done here, I promise you. There will always be consequences for our actions that can't be helped. God's not promising to free us from consequences. What He is promising to free us from is a life of repeating those actions over and over again. If we'll just turn to Him. Christian, once you're saved, it's not just a matter of, well, hey, I'm going to heaven, anything short of hell is a blessing, amen. No, it's supposed to be about serving the Lord. Loving the one who saved us. He deserves it. I've got just one question for you here in closing this morning. Would we be willing to let God do all this for us? Just a question. Hopefully you've got a good answer for it, though. Our most gracious Father in heaven, we do thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. We do pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon this day. And we ask You, Father, please to help us, each and every one of us, to come to You, to turn to You, to not continue to live in the muck and mire of this world, but to come and get the freedom, the jubilee that You have for us. Not turn a blind eye to it, not make our ears deaf, but to come and respond to You, because You and You alone can. Thank You, Father. That's it for now. We'll talk to you in a little bit. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. We'll do our usual closing song here this morning.